May the words of my mouth and the inspiration of our hearts be worthy in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. You know what today is? Epiphany. How many of you know what Epiphany means? If I asked you to sum up Epiphany in one word, how would you do it? I'd do it, aha! The Epiphany, when you have an Epiphany, you gather information that you really didn't know before or understand. It's the lifting of the veil of that was hiding something, and now you know what it is. In the Eastern Church, this is one of their three big days. I was in Greece many years ago, compliments of my favorite uncle, Sam. And I was there over a Christmas, and you wouldn't have even known it was Christmas. The only thing that told me that it was Christmas is some of the vendors on the sidewalks on by around the 23rd of December were selling these little aluminum Christmas trees. Christmas came and went. There was no big deal. But Epiphany came, and that changed. That's a big day for them. That's the top, one of the top three, up there with Easter, Pentecost, and of course now Epiphany. In the Eastern Church, today is the day they really celebrate the Nativity, the day where they have the blessing of the waters, and they bless boats and small ships on this day. How many of you are going to Tarpon Springs today? Anybody going to join in getting that cross out of the water? That is a big deal for them. It symbolizes to them that is the feast of the baptism of Christ. We in the Western Church see it as the coming of the wise men, of the revelation of Jesus to the Gentiles. In the Eastern Church, they look more as the baptism of Christ, which is again a revelation, an epiphany, because that's when Christ started his ministry. Again, in the Western Church, the three kings, the miracle at Cana, and we also celebrate the baptism of Christ, which is usually the first Sunday after Epiphany. But you know what's interesting about the baptism of Christ? It's the only place I know of in the Bible where you see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all together at the same time in the same place. The Son is there being baptized. The Father's voice is letting people know that it's his well-beloved Son, and the Holy Spirit descends as a dove. But let's turn to why we celebrate Epiphany. We celebrate Epiphany because of the Magi. That is also the root word for magic, Magi. I read a book one time that says, any technology sufficiently advanced beyond the people who see it is magic. These guys were astronomers and they were astrologers from Persia in eastern India. Now the reading implies that there were three magi on this trip because there were three gifts. Of course, we don't really know how many magi came. If it was as significant as we are led to believe in the readings, there may have been more. And these were very rich gentlemen of great learning and of great power. These are guys that were advisors to the kings of Persia. They let them know what was going on. So as I said, they were wealthy. Wealthy in their own right to be able to bring these gifts. And to be able to take the time off. Because the trip would have taken months in those days. And thus they gave gifts of great value. But this brings me to a question. What gifts do we have that we can lay at the feet of the Christ child? What gifts do we have to offer? I doubt many of us have the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, or the equivalent value thereof. In those days, frankincense and myrrh were worth quite a lot, probably as much as the gold they bore. So what gift do we give? There are two stories. One is actually a Christmas song. How many of you know the song of the little drummer boy? I hear it every Christmas. And it jerks at my heart. Here's this little boy who was asked to come and behold the newborn king and to bring his greatest gifts. What does he have? He's but a poor shepherd boy. And even being the poor shepherd boy, the sheep are not his own to give. What does he have? So he asked the Christ child, "Shall I play for you?" And the baby nodded. And the gift that the drummer boy gave was of himself. It was a gift of his talents given to the Christ child. One of my other favorite stories is the littlest angel. How many of you know that story? It talks about a little boy that died and he goes to heaven. He's always in trouble. Doesn't fly very well. Doesn't play the harp very well. Always underfoot. Then one day he goes to the understanding angel. And he asks the understanding angel if he can go back to earth for a little while to find this box that he kept under his bed. These were things he valued. There was a butterfly in there with golden wings, a sky blue egg, two white stones that he had found in a muddy river, a limp, tooth-marked leather strap that had once been worn by his mongrel dog. These were the things in the box. So it was announced that the Christ child will be born. And all the angels were making all these fabulous gifts, golden harps and golden urns and all this great stuff. And they all brought their gifts to lay before God's throne, gifts for God's son. The littlest angel went and he laid his box at the foot of the throne. But as he did, he looked around and he saw all these fabulous gifts. So he went to reach back for it and take it back. At which point his halo fell off his head as he tripped trying to get the box. And then the hand of God moved forward to grab that little box. And the littlest angel was there thinking, "Oh no, these gifts I've brought, they're not good enough." Well, for those of you that know the story know the ending. because God takes the box. And he opened the box and said, this is the greatest gift of all. Because these are things from the earth where my son shall rule. And that is what became the Star of Bethlehem, the littlest angel's box. I go through all these because I ask the question, what do we have to give to God? What do we have to offer to the Christ child? I don't care whether you're rich or poor. What do we have that has meaning that we can give for that child? One of our Christmas carols, called In the Bleak Midwinter, says part of an answer. We should give our hearts. Now, we are here and we have free will. Being created in God's image, he gave us this free will where we can do what we want. I think we have one gift. One gift alone that is worthy to give to the Christ child. And that is ourselves. Our bodies, our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Our bodies to be his tools on this earth. Our hearts to show his compassion to those less fortunate than we are. Our minds to help create a better society. And our souls given to him for the love we hold. If you look at the Eucharistic Prayer 1, there's part of the Eucharistic Prayer that says, we offer here ourselves, our souls, our bodies. I think that is important. We go out at the end of the service to the post-communion prayer. And in that prayer, we talk about doing the work God has given us to do. And then the deacon does the dismissal. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Do we do that? Do we give this gift to the Christ child? So I ask you to consider in this season of Epiphany, what great gift can you give God? Amen.